Good morning, MGTOW man. Hey, it's Mr. Cucumber Head. Hey, I'm so cool. Fuck. That's the fucking morning sun. Oh, early morning sun. Fuck. The evolution of life, and I'm actually on the road, and I've got sort of about 2.5 hours to make a 1 hour trip. Well, you know, it'd be cool sitting on bloody fucking rough roads with 100 k's an hour to be a terrific idea. And it's a 1 hour trip. Personally, I prefer the fucking Jesus. Actually, most of these roads are best travelled on doing about 80 k's an hour. Borrow a line from Cheech and Chong. Hey, I'm cool, man. I'm Mr. Cucumber Head. I got the cool shades on. A couple of things. Getting a bit. Seeing myself on camera a lot, you know, and I go, well, the reason why my gut sticks out is because I'm usually, you know, elbows on the desk, leaning forward, totally relaxed, and that lets all the fucking intestines and the stomach muscles fucking slowly stretch out, and that gives me the appearance of a fucking huge gut, you know, when in fact it's a little bit round the waistline is obesity, is fat, you know, and the rest of it's just poor posture and not being particularly mindful about body control, you know. So I've made the decision to start pull your stomach muscles in type shit, you know. It'll take a while, but I reckon I can get a flat stomach rather than a huge gut, you know. And that's just how it's going to have to be. And I don't know if you've noticed that because I'm still a bit slack on the exercise bit, which is pretty bad actually, you know. But I've basically stopped buying 1 or 2 kilo blocks, 1 or 2 kilos of fucking cheese to eat every week, you know. Because as one of my old advisors used to state, it just stacks the weight on, you know. So, and that's one thing I used to notice, but you sort of sit around and feel a bit pressured and a bit strained and go, oh, I don't have time to eat, I'll just munch on this fucking cheese. And cheese is good, you know what I mean, but only in sort of small quantities, you know, and kind of infrequently, you know. I'm not going to, because when you get too fucking brutal, you know, I mean, you know, if you've got an allergy to shellfish or some shit, or some seafood, you know, then you have a bit, and then you start going, I can't breathe, and then fall over dead, you know. You know, they need a fucking heart starter on you, sort of drugs to bring you around. And, you know, that's a no-go zone. You just don't eat fucking seafood, you know. But, with things like cheese, the secret is to not be a miserable cunt. To be contented, you know what I mean? To be, you know, not because I'm a happy fat person, that sort of, that shit, you know what I mean? But, you know, a little bit of cheese is good for you. And, the emphasis on the word is a little bit. And on long, one of the good things about cheese is you can... one of the good things about cheese is you can have a little bit and it fills you up. It gives you sort of a lot of energy for quite a time, you know. And, you know, it's not sort of nutritionally very diverse, but it's part of a fucking good meal. It's good, you know. So I've decided that if I go on a big trip, as are most trips, and I'm hungry and I'm tired and it's a long way from home, that buying a little 125 gram or maybe even a 250 gram block of cheese, you know, some fucking exotic, you know, blue vein or some other sort of shit, you know, that's not a bad idea, you know. That's, you know, it's like, I like that way you get to really fucking enjoy the cheese and go, fuck, this is nice, you know. And, you know, you're not stacking on the weight from the other, you know, 1 or 2 kilos that gets chewed or gnawed away on for the rest of the week. Yeah, so, good news too. Got new neighbours. The fucking junky shitheads have gone, you know. And you know, it looks like we've got some straight people, sort of straight people moved in, you know. Or that have bought the house, you know. Which is really good. Because that's fucking scumbag junkies and their fucking scumbag fucking kids, you know. I mean, who in the right mind sends their kids, oh, g'day mister, can we come in, can we come in, you know, because dad's sending them around to case the fucking joint, you know. The little cunts, you know what I mean, and it's not like they did it once, and, you know, and said, it's not like they did it sort of once and then sort of, no, fuck off, go away, don't come back. They were like bloody flies on shit, you know. They think it's some sort of retarded fucking game to try and keep doing this shit, and all I would have really liked to have done is just fucking shoot them and their fucking parents, you know. You know? So, you know, Daddy the scumbag junkie, and his wife the scumbag junkie, and their kids the fucking basket cases of all eternity, you know. You know, if someone they double crossed and fucking come round and just shot them all, wouldn't have been fucking sorry to see them go, you know. Not at all. So, you know, and you know, in some ways I can empathise, you know, the people get destroyed as children and they grow up, and this is the only way they know how to live their lives, and they're sort of in damage control, they're trying to fucking function and they can't deal with the shit that they've got to deal with. So they start using it in order to support their habits. They become fucking criminals and stealing and robbing and taking drugs and stealing and robbing and taking drugs and being fucking assholes, you know. And they never fucking put the shit down and get their act together. They just go around being fucking assholes. And then they raise their kids, because they're stupid fucking junkies, they raise their kids to be fucking idiots too. Because they hang around with all the only people they hang around with are fucking doing drugs. And the only people they fucking, you know, are dealing with are other fucking assholes. You know, and so the kids grow up, and the only world they know is fucking assholes, you know? So the kids are fucking idiots, you know? And the kids are damaged beyond comprehension, you know, by all the shit that's been done to them, you know, which includes incest and abuse and neglect and fucking by their parents and their fucking idiot fucking friends. All the space cadets, you know what I mean? Because the parents won't deal with their shit, they won't get off the drugs, they won't stop hanging around with fucking dickheads. So they expose their friends. Of course they're the fucking dickheads and they're doing drugs and shit. All their friends are fucking dickheads and they're all fucking abusing their kids by, you know, physical abuse, by neglect, you know, by just not being there for them and exposing them to fucking idiots that are on the fucking drugs and all the fucking bullshit under the sun. And they sit on their asses calling me the fucking Antichrist, you know, while they're trying to fucking sending their kids around trying to fucking rob me, you know? Cunts. So on one hand I can be sort of empathetic towards the entire situation, but on the other hand, you know, if someone gonna fucking just gun them down in the fucking street or, well, you know, comes with the territory, you know. Go robbing people, you know. They fucking arc up. They might feel induced to retaliate. You know. I gotta go see another guy. Just institute some proceedings to potentially remediate the damage, you know? Yeah, so I was talking to a guy who was a optometrist, and there's a thing that if you get too much ultraviolet rays on your eye, you get scarring on the eye. You know, you get these little sort of thick little sort of strands growing across the eye, and like most things, it's better to prevent them than to fucking try and cure them. And I got talking about to the optometrist, you know, and he said, now I could sort of try to rationalise this on scientific sort of principles, but what he said what he had to say on the subject was that and I'd be prepared to argue this because I think it's more opinion than fact and it's something that should be sort of tested and calibrated, you know, using instruments, that when you get haze in the sky, I said to him, wouldn't that be better? Because, you know, as far as you know, standing in the sunlight on a clear day, well, all the haze in the air, you know, when there's sort of smoky, not smoke, but smoky sort of cloud, you know, where there's not actually sort of solid clouds, there's just sort of thick haze. Actually it does look like smoke, but because it's slow lying down to the ground and up into the atmosphere, you know, but essentially what the little drops of water do, you know, is they act as prisms, so the light hits them and then they're like lenses. And instead of being a straight beam of light coming down to your eyes, it goes through the lens, and then I think it spreads, you know. So you end up with all sorts of diffuse sort of light, you know, goes out in fucking triangles, you know, like sort of that, you know, out the other side of the water drop. Well, not rain as in rain, but I mean condensation sort of fog type, aerosol type water drops, you know. And I said, wouldn't that be sort of better, because it not only does it sort of, and that light coming out of all these little sort of, you know, aerosol type water drops, wouldn't that light be sort of better if it was than being in, what's the words, it's a bit trippy with these fucking earphones in, you know. It's sort of a bit sort of dissociating, you know. And I said, I reckon that'd be better because, you know, it's going to sort of, the light bouncing through all these little prisms is going to be sending a lot more of it sort of sidewards and a lot more of it back into space, you know, than coming straight down. And he said, no, it's actually worse because you get light coming at your eyes from all angles, you know? And, you know, sideways and fucking straight down and above and below and, you know? So I'd be prepared to argue the case on that based upon scientific evidence, you know? So, here we have, this is smoke from fucking fires. So, these are the issues, dear people. Yeah, and I might go meet the new neighbours, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after. If I know who the people are, then I just sort of fuck them off, you know. If I regard them as, you know, bumfuck nowhere land, bloody gossips, oh well, fuck that, so and so reckons this and so and so reckons that, you know. They've never met you, but they like to think they know that all there is. They like to think that they know all there is to know about you, you know. Mind on a fucking rubbish tip full of other people's shit. No. So, that's a necessary fucking thing. So here we avoid the high speed trains that might come through here once in a fucking blue moon. Yes, I've learnt very early on in the piece, just because you can't see a vehicle coming doesn't mean there isn't one coming, you know. I've had that experience, and it's always stuck in my head, you know what I mean? That there's a chain is an old surveying measurement. You know, before they had really decent sort of optical type things, and GPS and lasers and all the other sort of shit, you know, and everything that came before it. What they did was measure things out with chains, and chains were literally a chain. And these were good because they walked, they didn't stretch or move much, and it would take a long time to get sort of, you know, accumulated, you know, under the circumstances. You know, it would take an awful lot of use to get significant sort of errors through wear and tear on the chain links. So, you know, if you had chains as in land surveying chains. I've got no idea, but because I've got a bit of an educated mind, I can take an educated kind of, that sounds about right type stuff, but I think if they had a standard measure of distance and the you know, if they had a standard measure and they would, you know, a set length of new chain that they could distribute out to all these different places, all these different sort of surveying stations, and once every sort of every year of use, they could take all the chains out in the field, lay them side by side and look at the amount of wear on them, you know. Also the amount of wear in the links and where the links touch would slowly make that chain physically longer. And what would then happen is, I've got no idea how long the links were, so you know, the memories of touch vague. Spent a lot of time on the subject, but the you know, to recalibrate a chain that's halfway sort of worn and sort of, although they were done in feet and yards, to put it up as say 100 metre lengths of chain, well, say the permissible wear on that was half a percent, which would be 50 centimetres, you know, half a metre, then once that chain had been sort of elongated and stretched to such an extent, you know, or effectively lengthened, and all they do is chop off a bit, I guess, and recalibrate the chain length like that, you know. So, effectively they're going to basically get, you know, every time it's sort of deviated by, say, know, 1/10 of 1%, they could just recalibrate the length of the chain and say if the chain wore over 100 metres to sort of being say 10 centimetres every 6 months or something like that. If they knew what the approximate rate of wear was, then they could just fucking readjust in the field based upon, you know, the law of averages and prediction. And then once a year they could take the chains back in, you know, once every 2 years or some shit, they can take the chains back in and recalibrate them against a fucking known length, adjust, and then take them back out into the field again, you know. So anyway, what happened was, when I was about 25, 26, I was going over to my sponsor's place in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and I'd gotten off at the wrong station, and, you know, I was confused. I think one was Annandale and the other one was Cannondale or something like that, and I fucked up and got mixed up and got off the wrong one, you know. And so there was what is called the, I think it's the through chain road, you know, that's the, yeah, it might have been a three chain or four chain road, and that means the width of the road is like a two lane kind of road, but You know, in the olden days, this is like a sort of a two-lane kind of highway, but you know, it's kind of like each lane was like three lanes wide, you know, and so yeah. So yeah, and these roads were used as stock driving routes, you know, from various parts of the state or the country or the countryside, you know, and so farmers could bring big herds of cattle through along these roads, and that would give people fucking room to sort of pass. I mean, this is in the days of fucking what's it called? These are in the days of droving, you know, where people rode horses and pulled things on ox carts and shit like that, you know. But the fucking roads were three-chained roads, were major stock routes, you know. And, you know, if they had 1,000 head of cattle or, you know, a couple of thousand sheep or whatever, they couldn't bring them down a narrow fucking street because that would block the fucking roads, you know. So, because there's very few people in Australia and there's a lot of country and not much sort of settled areas and the cities were small, you know, you basically drive, you know, you would drive your fucking cattle herds and shit like that right into more or less the centre of the fucking city to the slaughter yards on the other side of the city, you know, which was to say the city was basically, you know, 5 km wide, you know. And everything beyond that was just forest. As people moved out and moved away, the city grew. All those farmlands and fucking forest and all that sort of shit got sort of plowed under and turned into housing, and the city grew and the farms moved further and further away. And, you know, then they got fucking trucks, and trains and different ways and means to transport all their stock. But anyway, yeah, anyway, I'd stepped off the fucking, I'd gotten off the train station, and this was a three-chain road, so it was really fucking wide, you know what I mean? And from memory, I think the true measurement of a chain, I think, was like 30 yards, you know, because that was the size and length that the average man could sort of handle by himself, you know. You can still sort of cover some distance, still get accurate measurements. And the chain itself wasn't that heavy, you know, and hard to handle, you know. So, I forget. But anyway, it was a three-chain road, you know. And that means it's a really fucking wide road, you know. Each lane was like three wide sort of car lanes, you know, each way. And then there's like another lane of sort of nature strip, you know, before the fucking house fences and stuff, you know, on each side of that. So, yeah. So, I was standing at the fucking curb, you know, and the street, absolutely no traffic on it at all, nothing, and it was quiet, it was kind of early on a Sunday morning, you know. And yeah, we'll go this way to get a fucking, make breakfast, you know. And yeah, it was quiet. It was 9:30, 9 a.m. or something on a Sunday morning. So there's no traffic, fucking dead quiet. Wide open, dead straight road for miles, you know, each direction. And I looked up and down the street and I thought, you know, yeah, it's clear. And I went to step off and out of the fucking blue, out of the fucking absolute vacuum of time and space, this Kawasaki motorcycle in bright Kawasaki green colours. Now this thing's like a fucking racing bike. And it appeared just out of fucking nowhere, you know. And he wasn't sort of speeding as in going at some sort of insane rate of fucking knots, you know. He was actually, but he's going fairly sort of quick for the circumstances, you know. But he just appeared out of fucking nowhere, like a, and it's kind of like if you, you know, if you look that way, and then look that way, and then step off the curb, by the time you fucking look down, by the time you look back off that way again, you're thinking, how in the fuck did he appear, you know, on 3 or 4 k's of dead straight road? How did he appear out of fucking nowhere? But if I'd have sort of stepped off the curb and taken another step or two, I would have been right in front of him, you know? How in the fuck did he appear out of nowhere? You know, how in the fuck did he just go appear, you know? And it's just, you know, I didn't hear him pull out, I didn't see him pull out, there wasn't enough time for him to fucking, you know, just magically fucking, he just appeared out of thin air, like it was like some sort of fucking magician's trick. And I've never forgotten that, you know. You know. Never forgotten. You know, this is kind of like, there's just some things I can't explain, you know. Here we are. That's breakfast time. And got fucking tourists. Cunts. Of course, they'd have to park where I was going to park. They just did that to annoy me. You know, to get under my fucking skin. I can tell I've got magic powers. Idiot place to park, though. They could have just pulled out a little way, you know. Fuck. 9:15 p.m. Good time.